Today is the 6th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Welcome back around the global campfire. It is fantastic to be here with you today as we gather again, like we do every day, like we have been doing every day for 20 years. So this is the 20th August 6th, and I am in awe of that fact. Also very grateful to be here with you today to take the next step forward, which for the 20th time will take us back into the book of Ezra. And today we'll read Ezra chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, verse 23. In early autumn, when the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled in Jerusalem with a unified purpose. Then Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, joined his fellow priests and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, with his family in rebuilding the altar of the God of Israel. They wanted to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, as instructed in the law of Moses, the man of God. Even though the people were afraid of the local residents, they rebuilt the altar at its old site. Then they began to sacrifice burnt offerings on the altar to the Lord each morning and evening. They celebrated the festival of shelters as prescribed in the law, sacrificing the number of burnt offerings specified for each day of the festival. They also offered the regular burnt offerings and the offerings required for the new moon celebrations and the annual festivals as prescribed by the Lord. The people also gave voluntary offerings to the Lord. 15 days before the festival of shelters began, the priests had begun to sacrifice burnt offerings to the Lord. This was even before they had started to lay the foundation of the Lord's temple. Then, the people hired masons and carpenters and bought cedar logs from the people of Tyre and Sidon, paying them with food, wine, and olive oil. The logs were brought down from the Lebanon mountains and floated along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea to Joppa, for King Cyrus had given permission for this. The construction of the temple of God began in mid-spring, during the second year after they arrived in Jerusalem. The workforce was made up of everyone who had returned from exile, including Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak, and his fellow priests, and all the Levites. The Levites who were 20 years old or older were put in charge of rebuilding the Lord's temple. The workers at the temple of God were supervised by Jeshua with his sons and relatives, and Kadmiel and his sons, all descendants of Hodaviah. They were helped in this task by the Levites of the family of Henadad. When the builders completed the foundation of the Lord's temple, the priests put on their robes and took their places to blow their trumpets, and the Levites, descendants of Asaph, clashed their cymbals to praise the Lord, just as King David had prescribed. With praise and thanks, they sang this song to the Lord. He is so good. His faithful love for Israel endures forever. Then all the people gave a great shout, praising the Lord because the foundation of the Lord's temple had been laid. But many of the older priests, Levites, and other leaders who had seen the first temple wept aloud when they saw the new temple's foundation. The others, however, were shouting for joy. The joyful shouting and weeping mingled together in a loud noise that could be heard far in the distance. The enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the exiles were rebuilding a temple to the Lord, the God of Israel. So they approached Zerubbabel and the other leaders and said, let us build with you, for we worship your God just as you do. We have sacrificed to him ever since King Esarhaddon of Assyria brought us here. But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the other leaders of Israel replied, you may have no part in this work. We alone will build the temple for the Lord, the God of Israel, just as King Cyrus of Persia commanded us. Then the local residents tried to discourage and frighten the people of Judah to keep them from their work. They bribed agents to work against them and to frustrate their plans. This went on during the entire reign of King Cyrus of Persia and lasted until King Darius of Persia took the throne. Years later, when Xerxes began his reign, the enemies of Judah wrote a letter of accusation against the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Even later, during the reign of King Artaxerxes of Persia, the enemies of Judah led by Bishlam, Mithridath, and Tabeel sent a letter to Artaxerxes in the Aramaic language, and it was translated for the king. Rehum, the governor, and Shimshai, the court secretary, wrote the letter telling King Artaxerxes about the situation in Jerusalem. They greeted the king for all their colleagues, the judges and local leaders, the people of Tarpel, the Persians, the Babylonians, and the people of Erech and Susa, that is, Elam. They also sent greetings from the rest of the people whom the great and noble Ashurbanipal had deported and relocated in Samaria and throughout the neighboring lands of the province west of the Euphrates River. This is a copy of their letter. To King Artaxerxes, from your loyal subjects in the province west of the Euphrates River, the king should know that the Jews who came here to Jerusalem from Babylon are rebuilding this rebellious and evil city. They have already laid the foundation and will soon finish its walls. And the king should know that if this city is rebuilt and its walls are completed, it will be much to your disadvantage. For the Jews will then refuse to pay their tribute, customs, and tolls to you. Since we are your loyal subjects and do not want to see the king dishonored in this way, we have sent the king this information. We suggest that a search be made in your ancestors' records, where you will discover what a rebellious city this has been in the past. In fact, it was destroyed because of its long and troublesome history of revolt against the kings and countries who controlled it. We declare to the king that if this city is rebuilt and its walls are completed, the province west of the Euphrates River will be lost to you. Then King Artaxerxes sent this reply to Rehum, the governor, Shimshai, the court secretary, and their colleagues living in Samaria and throughout the province west of the Euphrates River. Greetings. The letter you sent has been translated and read to me. I ordered a search of the records and have found that Jerusalem has indeed been a hotbed of insurrection against many kings. In fact, rebellion and revolt are normal there. Powerful kings have ruled over Jerusalem and the entire province west of the Euphrates River, receiving tribute, customs, and tolls. Therefore, issue orders to have these men stop their work. That city must not be rebuilt except at my express command. Be diligent and don't neglect this matter, for we must not permit the situation to harm the king's interests. When this letter from King Artaxerxes was read to Rehum, Shimshai, and their colleagues, they hurried to Jerusalem. Then, with a show of strength, they forced the Jews to stop building. First Corinthians 2:6-3:4. Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him." But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others, for who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? When one of you says, "I am a follower of Paul," and another says, "I follow Apollos," aren't you acting just like people of the world? Psalm 28, a Psalm of David. I pray to you, O Lord, my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you are silent, I might as well give up and die. Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, those who speak friendly words to their neighbors while planning evil in their hearts. Give them the punishment they so richly deserve. Measure it out in proportion to their wickedness. Pay them back for all their evil deeds. Give them a taste of what they have done to others. They care nothing for what the Lord has done, or for what His hands have made. So He will tear them down, and they will never be rebuilt. Praise the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust Him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. The Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress for his anointed king. Save your people. Bless Israel, your special possession. Lead them like a shepherd and carry them in your arms forever. Proverbs 20, 24, and 25. The Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? Don't trap yourself by making a rash promise to God and only later counting the cost. Okay, so 1 Corinthians, Paul is laying out the argument of the letter, laying out the purpose of what he's trying to explain, and he's continuing what he has been discussing, that the gospel is nonsense, that it is completely nonsense to anyone who doesn't really understand it. So Paul advised that God's plan to redeem the world wasn't obviously nonsense, but it was ancient and it was hidden, but was revealed in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, but only for those with eyes to see and ears to hear it. Otherwise, it would sound like nonsense. I mean, think about it. If we just consider what I just said. Paul advised that the plan of God was in fact to redeem the world, and it was ancient and hidden, but it was revealed in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, but only for those who had eyes to see and ears to hear it. Like, if you don't resonate with that already, if you were just hearing that for the first time and believing that our five physical senses were our reality, then certainly Paul's words don't make any rational sense. Once the truth of the rescue of Jesus and the work of Christ in our lives does have its place inside of our heart, then we can't see the world any other way. And that can be difficult to describe to a person who doesn't look through a spiritual lens at the world. And that's what Paul is saying. The rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit, for his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. So how do we kind of bridge the gap then between our own reason and our own experience and the awareness of our spiritual reality that is a more tangible thing than anything that our physical senses can perceive? That's where Paul's at today. That's what he's trying to explain. And he says, no one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. Right? No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirits. So that's how we can know. We can know the wonderful things God has freely given us because we have his spirit. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's spirit. It all sounds foolish, and they can't understand it. Only those who are spiritual can understand what the spirit means. So once again, I mean, that can get all convoluted, but he's just saying our mind alone, what we have experienced and what we can reason and perceive, cannot contain God. We're going to need something more than our own mind, spiritually speaking. And so for Paul, there's only one reality that can bridge that gap. And that leads us to a very, very famous verse. Paul says, the way that we can understand these things is because we have the mind of Christ. So again, like Paul's writings, they form the basis of so many doctrines and so much theology. And so it can get technical and it can feel theological. How does it kind of come down into where we can approach it and grasp it and live inside of it today? Proverbs tells us the Lord directs our steps. So why try to understand everything along the way? Oh my goodness. Again, like I get hit between the eyes with stuff like that. Somebody that just really wants to wrestle a truth to the ground and truly comprehend it. But that's just not how faith always works. In fact, that's rarely how it works. And so as we're going through this day, let's try to pay attention that God's Spirit is available and directing us. Let's look through spiritual eyes, knowing that life isn't something to be figured out today. It's something to enjoy. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you. I mean, so many times we're flying in the face of how we even understand things to work. And so to open our eyes spiritually gives us a perspective that we normally do not have. And what Paul is telling us is that if we do open our eyes spiritually, then we will see. We will see more clearly and have the perspective that we lack. And so we're inviting that. Show us how to do that. We will live into that. Show us how to do that. Make us aware of the presence of your Spirit within, and that we do not have to spend all of our energy trying to sort out everything that's going to happen today. Today is a gift to enjoy, and if we will trust you, we will know how to navigate it. Come, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home. The Daily Audio Bible app, that is home as well. As we continue our journey through the 20th year together. So, man, there's a lot planned because this is the only 20th year we will ever get, right? So, we've released a lot of music this year. Jill and I spent a bunch of time talking about suffering and pain the last couple of days, Friday and Monday, and just reminding you that that is associated with a song called Blessed Be the Name. That comes out on the 14th of August, but you can get it now on iTunes. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that, that has really resonated, and we've been really encouraged in the vulnerability of it. And so thank you. Thank you, God, actually. Thank you, God, for using our pain for something good. And that brings meaning. And so that's something for us to be grateful for. I mentioned yesterday that we have released yesterday. Wow. So many coffee lovers out there. So We released our Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve coffee yesterday in honor of this 20th anniversary. We have this coffee brand. It's called Wind Farm. And we've had it for a very, very, very long time. Most of the time of the Daily Audio Bible. Largely out of my own love for coffee. And that is a long-running thing in my life. I love good coffee. And so finding a way to bring good coffee into the community, I just found that my rhythm in the early years until today, right now, I have my steaming cup of Wind Farm coffee in my lovely 20th anniversary clean canteen right here to my right, because this is what I do every day of my life, coming in front of this microphone to do this work. And that was going on for a long time before we ever had our own coffee, but it just came to be that we could source, roast, partner with, and develop our own coffee brand, and we called it Wind Farm. And that comes straight out of the book of Ezekiel, which we haven't come to just yet, but Ezekiel chapter 37 it's a famous scene, a bit of a bizarre scene. It's called the Valley of the Dry Bones, and it is a prophetic message to Israel, and we'll get there. But the prophet Ezekiel stands in this valley after a battle. The battle is long over, so that the dead who are strewn all over the valley, it's been a massive massacre, a horrible battle. But the bodies have all just been left there, and they have turned to skeletons, bones, scorched, dry bones strewn across the valley. And God asks the prophet, could these ever live again? And I don't want to go through the entire story, but Ezekiel is, obviously no, they can't, right? But since God is asking a question, Ezekiel just says, only you could know the answer to that. And through prophetic utterances, Ezekiel is told to call forth the breath of life from the four winds of the earth, the north, south, east, and west wind, call them into this valley. And what was dead, long dead, like over, crunchy, baked, right? Sun-baked skeletons, dead, come back to life again. And there was a moment so many years ago now, probably 17 years ago, reading that, it became such a profound awareness that every day that we do this work, every day that we're standing in front of this microphone, every day that we gather around the global campfire together, it is across the four corners of the earth. Like, it is everywhere around the world. We're speaking out the word of God and calling the breath of life over the earth. Not in some kind of weird, superior look at us sort of way, just a humbling sort of understanding that we're trying to do what is good and right and speak out using technology that winds its way all across the globe. I'm speaking to you and you're in Africa right now and hello. I'm speaking to you and you're in Australia right now and hello. I'm speaking to you and you're in London right now And hello, I love you. Speaking to you in Los Angeles. Speaking to you in Dallas. Speaking to you in New York. Speaking to you in Toronto. Speaking to you in Mexico City. Speaking to you in Rio. Speaking to you in Mumbai. Speaking to you in Nashville. Speaking to you in the United States. Speaking to you in the UK and across Europe. Speaking to you in Asia. It's a global campfire. And it is a humbling thing to call to the four winds with the breath of life, the word of God. And it just became this visual, a wind farm. Harnessing that wind, the breath of life, turning it into energy across the world for good. And that's where the name Wind Farm came from. And that is the name or why our coffee is called Wind Farm Coffee. It's just a part of the rhythm. It's part of the DNA of the Daily Audio Bible. It's part of something that has developed over these 20 years to become a part of who we are as a community. So that's how Wind Farm Coffee came to be born. And that is how it's been going on for all of these years. And we roast it fresh out in Colorado and then ship it fresh, far more fresh than you can get at a grocery store, or far more fresh than you can get even at a chain coffee shop. I guess if you have your local roaster that's a favorite of yours, then that's about how fresh you'll be getting our coffee. But we roast it fresh and send it to you. And since it's been such a part of the DNA, and the story that I even just shared is such a part of who we are, we thought we've got to celebrate. Like, part of the celebration has to be with coffee. Has to be. So the last couple of months, we've been kind of working through that. What should it be? Really tossing different recipes around, tasting different things, trying different things. Until we settled on, you know what, we're here. Planted, rooted in the South, the Southern states, the United States. Let's look for that. And we zoomed in and tasted and tasted and tested and tested until we came up with Southern Pecan. And man, when you open a bag of the Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve, yum. That's all I got to say. Yum. And so I've been drinking it like on the regular every day right now. It's my favorite currently. I'm drinking it right now. And in celebration, in honor of God's faithfulness, that this is another 20th. Today is a 20th time that we've reached this day in any given year. So I'm grateful to share that with you, but also to tell you. Southern Pecan, Wind Farm, Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve is available now in the Daily Audio Bible shop. You can find that at dailyaudiobible.com, or if you're using the app, you can press the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner, and that'll open the drawer, and you'll find the shop in there. And you'll find this brand new, a special reserve. We ordered a bunch of green coffee to blend and to roast and create this. So, hope you'll participate in the flavors and the aromas in the 20th anniversary edition of coffee as we move through the 20th anniversary edition of the Daily Audio Bible. And that is available now. If you want a partner with the Daily Audio Bible, I mean, grab some coffee, that helps, thank you. But if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible during the summertime, we appreciate that deeply, humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. With the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. I love this community. Like, this is the one true thing that I have done in my life. The one thing that I've had open hands and a pure heart in all of these years, for all of these days, the one thing. And so I love you and I'm grateful. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, family. This is Robert P. from Tennessee calling in with an update about Joe, the van driver from our church. He got to come home a few days and had to go back to the hospital. He was diagnosed with AML leukemia. And the doctors thought they had it whipped, but apparently not. His fever is running out of control, so please pray for him, family. Lift him up. His name is Joe McSwain. Pray for him. Pray for his family, that God will heal him. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Mr. Rodney from Atlanta. Wow, you have a gift with that deep baritone voice. But what was even more of a gift to me is the message that you gave us dabbers. Life bites. I've never thought about it that way before. On the community prayer, you were about, I don't know, an hour and a half in, and I listened to it, and I was just like, wow, God, this is what I needed to hear today. And then I listened to it again, and it's even more powerful this morning. Thank you for sharing God's heart, Mr. Rodney. Thank you for the word of God that you broke down and spoke over us dabbers. I pray in Jesus' name that we would all give up the bitterness, the dissension, the confusion, the sadness of things that we cannot control. I pray in Jesus' name that those life bites would only put the venom of the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we become more and more like Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, thank you for this Dabber Nation. Thank you that we are truly sharpening one another just at the right moment we need it. Oh, God, have your way with this group today. May people go back and listen to that message because it was a word for today. Oh, I love you, Lord. I bless you. I honor you in Jesus' name. God bless y'all. Bye-bye. Taken with love from Louisiana.
Hi. I would love prayer for me and my marriage and my husband. Several years ago, I discovered he had an affair, and the Lord gave me strength and joy to forgive him and restored and redeemed our marriage. And when I was just fully fallen back in love, I found him in a hotel with someone new, and I forgave him again, but something about that second time has left me stuck in life and unable to move forward. And I've just hit rock bottom because I can no longer live feeling in this pain anymore. And I trust the Lord and I know He has me, but I just need prayer.
Hello, this is Bob from Colorado. I'm calling in to pray for a mother, and we ask prayers for her daughter, 20-year-old daughter. trying to avoid hemorrhaging. I believe the placenta is attached to scar tissue and there's complications. And trying to prayers to avoid all that, that the placenta would stretch and she'd have no complications during childbirth. So I thank you, Father, for the prayers of this mother. I pray for her own concerns and emotions, Lord, behind it all. I pray definitely that you protect her daughter, keep her child, and that all would be well during the pregnancy, during the delivery. And I just thank you, Father, that we can pray as a family for this family. I do pray for another friend of mine, that his wife, who has type 1 diabetes and was just recently went to the ER and was told that she would need 24/7 oxygen. So it's very difficult on her. They're a strong Christian couple. But definitely pray for her. We've been dealing with type 1 diabetes for a long time. I just pray for her strength, her continued gratitude for all things, as difficult as that is, Lord. But I just pray you give her a heart that is accepting, and that despite what is being told to her, that she could heal both diabetes.
Hey, Dad family, this is Kristen, a.k.a. Christ in Me. I'm listening to the Daily Audio Bible today on the 31st of July, and I heard Karen from Florida, and I just wanted to call in and give her some encouragement and some love and pray for her. Sweet sister, I understand what you're going through. It's heartbreaking to watch our children make these kind of mistakes. But we have a good and loving God, and we know that this battle belongs to the Lord, and we can give that battle to Him, and it gives us peace, and it gives us comfort, and it gives us strength. Father God, I just come before your throne room of grace, and I just ask that you would just give peace, strength, comfort to my sister, Karen. Just let her know that you're there. Wrap her up in your wings, and just love on her. And let her know that you have this. This battle belongs to you, and you're going to take care of it. And you can assign your angels around her son and this situation to protect him and her. So we ask you to, for your angels of protection around him. And we pray for his deliverance in the name of the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hi, family. It's Nicole calling from Alberta, Canada. I just want to thank you all for your prayers for my stepson, Jake. He has been undergoing chemo treatment to prepare for a stem cell transplant, and they were able to do some spacing of it so that he was able to get married a couple weeks ago, weekends ago. And it was a beautiful day, and he had the energy and the stamina, and I am just so grateful to God our Father for allowing that to happen and for him to be strong enough for that. So thank you for your prayers. Please continue to pray for him as they've now amped up the chemo in preparation for the stem cell transplant that will be coming up in August. And so we just continue to lift him up, Lord, and pray that you would touch his body. And he is also a placeholder for anybody who is struggling with cancer, Lord, that invade their body, Lord, with your healing, with your grace. Set them free from the cancer, Lord. Replace the cancerous cells with all the healthy cells, all the good white blood cells, and give them strength and grace for this journey and this battle. And most of all, I pray that they would find you in the midst of it. And then I just also would ask that you would pray for me and my work. There's just some situations going on there with positions moving around, and it's really complicated, and I won't explain it, but I just really need to see a touch from God, because just some of the shenanigans and dishonesty in my current area have been so discouraging for me. And so I'm really praying that this other thing would open up for me, and that God would continue to give me grace for where he has me, give me wisdom and give me strength. So Lord, anyone else battling this as well, I pray that you would open doors where they need to be opened and give us strength and wisdom when they're not. Thank you for all that you do. Amen.